So grateful for the presence of the Lord that I feel in this room. I'm so grateful for all of the faces that I see this Sunday morning. I'm so grateful for family. I've said it and I'll be repetitive. Truth Church is not just a church, it's a church family. And there's a big difference. So you get to be with your family this morning. And I'm so grateful for my brothers and sisters in Denison, Texas, and so grateful for what God is doing in our midst. And you're just going to have to forgive me. It's story time with LG one more time. And if you don't like my story, then just go along and act like you do. But I was on the way to the airport, and I was getting ready to fly. And I'll confess to you, I'm proud to be humble. I'm a Delta member. And that means I have status with Delta. That means I normally get upgraded, and I get to sit in first class, and I get to experience just a little bit of that blessed life every now and then. And so there's some days that I have to be humble, and I don't get to fly first class, and I don't get to fly Delta. And so this was one of those weekends, and I had to fly Southwest. Oh, I appreciate the prayers and the intercession. The airline where every seat is first class. That's a lie. So I started out, I was going to be like in C95. I thought, you know what, I'll sit in the back of the plane, I'll sit by the restroom, I'll hear the toilet flush every time. It's just one time, I'll be humble, it'd be good for me. And then your boy relapsed, and I said, you know what, I'm paying for the front, even though it's not quite the same as first class, I'm just going to sit in the front. And so I got to the front of the line, and I walk onto the plane, and there, even though I was at the front of the line, there were several people still in front of me. And so I knew I'd probably get the third or fourth row, something like that, but that's all right. And I'm grateful for anything near the front half of the plane. And so I step on board, I duck. That's what you do when you're 6'4". And if you don't duck, it's going to be a bad day. And so I'm getting ready to get on the third or fifth or sixth row, and I realize that the second row is full, and the third row is full, and the fourth row is full, but somehow the first row is empty on my left and my right. Now, I'm about to sit down, and then I'm thinking, okay, am I too smart for this? Am I not smart enough? So I'll start analyzing. Is this throw up on this row? Is there Cheerios from a baby being drunk and overdosing on Cheerios from the last flight? And I don't see anything. And so now I'm like, okay, I'm just going to ask the stewardess. And so I asked the stewardess, am I okay to sit up here? Like, is there a reason I shouldn't be? And she said, no, there's no reason. And so I sit down, and people keep passing me and keep passing me, and I'm about to lose it. Your boy's glitching. Like, I got ADD normally, but I'm about to lose it. And so I finally asked the stewardess, I said, okay, I need to know, why is nobody else sitting, like, beside me? Like, I'm trying to figure this out. Like, this is the front row. And so she thought about it, and so then she just asked me a simple question. She said, did you have a lot of luggage? I said, oh, no, I just brought a little carry-on. I don't live that check baggage life. I don't bring three backpacks and try to stuff it into one. And she said, oh, okay, well, see, there's not a whole lot of room on the overhead bin. So the reason people aren't sitting up here is because they have extra baggage. Now, this is our third Sunday. Y'all know this is the part where we make it spiritual. And we take a really dumb, stupid, silly story, and we make it apply. I just feel like this morning that God is calling some people to heavenly places. And there's a seat, and there's a view. But if you do not let go of something, you will be robbed of the place. The Bible says He causes us to be seated with Him in heavenly places. I just feel like the Lord is wanting to call someone. He's wanting to push somebody. He's wanting to provoke somebody. I just say, today is the day that is worth letting go of something. today is the day that it's worth letting go of whatever is robbing us from that heavenly place. All right? Today's that day. As simple as that. Today is that day. Camden, you believe today's that day? I believe today is that day. I really do. I want to take your attention to the book of John chapter 21. To the book of John chapter 21. The book of John chapter 21. So grateful for Pastor Darren and Sister Ginger and the entire team that works not only on Sundays but throughout the week to cultivate a spirit of excellence. And I know you know this. I don't want to insult your intelligence, but God is doing something absolutely seismic and supernatural at Truth Church. And He's allowing you to be a part of it. And I just have increasingly just this excitement and expectancy for everything that God is going to do. And so we're just going to let Him continue that this morning, all right? Haven't come to wow you, haven't come to impress you. I just want to deliver the word of the Lord, and we're going to let Him speak to us, all right? Amen. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. If you didn't realize it, we're going to the book of John chapter 21. So if you're there, say amen. If you're looking on the screen, say amen. If you're not there, say amen. If you're just saying amen to say amen, say amen. I appreciate your honesty. John chapter 21 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself, and there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. So they said unto him, we also go with thee. And so they went forth and entered into the boat immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? That word meat might could be translated in the Greek for Chick-fil-A. Scholars are still studying to figure that out. But I do lean with that interpretation. And they answered him, no. I think I can deduce that they're probably not in a good mood right now. And you got to love Jesus because He just keeps talking to them. And He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find. They didn't even answer Him. They just cast therefore, and now they, sometimes your answer is just action. Some things we don't need to pray about. We just need to do. There's a whole lot that should happen after amen. And they just cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his fisher's cloak, for he was naked, he was unclothed, and he did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish, and bread. Someone say last verse. Verse 10. Can we read it together? Now this is the part where everyone just reads in perfect harmony, or it just gets really awkward and everyone reads at different paces. So let's try to read it all together. But if it's awkward, then we'll just have more fun. Verse number 10. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. I lied. We have two more verses. I hope you'll forgive me. Simon Peter went up and he drew the net, land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet not the net was broken. Now I'm going to make you read with me again. This is truly the last verse, verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Can we just read it one more time? And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. For just the next few moments, I want to teach, I want to preach, I want to share what I feel on my heart on this simple subject for just the next few moments of our time together. And I just know, I know that God is going to confirm His word, and He's getting ready to speak to somebody. So I just want to preach to you on this simple subject, the nail-scarred cook. The nail-scarred cook. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to tell them those words. Can you do that? The nail-scarred cook. Can you turn to your other neighbor, the one you just rejected? The nail-scarred cook. The nail-scarred cook. Would you just lift up your hands just one more time? And could we just, again, practice our faith? Could we stretch our faith? Could we exercise our faith? And could we just thank God for speaking to us? We're not going to petition Him to speak to us. We're going to thank Him for speaking to us. God, I thank You for Your glory that's been made manifest in this room. I thank You for Your presence that has already been made manifest in this sanctuary. God, Your presence would not be here if Your purpose was not here. And I believe that You have a purpose for being in this room with Your sons and Your daughters, with my brothers and my sisters. And God, I thank You for every healing of the mind that is about to be accomplished. I thank You for every healing of the body that is about to be performed. I thank You for every healing of the soul that can take place in just a matter of seconds and moments. I give You glory and honor, for Yours is the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We agree, we pray, we prophesy, we declare it in solidity and in faith in the name of Jesus. Somebody just shout the name of Jesus just one more time. And would you just clap your hands just a little louder, just a little longer, if you believe that He heard you? I invite you just to do it for 10 more seconds all across the room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Come on, I invite you just to do it 10 more seconds. Turn to one more person and tell them the nail-scarred cook. You may be seated this morning. Jesus had declared these powerful, potent words. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They were words full of power and authority and unction and energy and anointing. However, there is something quite problematic, Austin. The individual, the person that has spoken these words is now hanging on a cross. Nails are piercing his hands. Joey Anel is piercing his feet. He is taking his last and final breath. And the very person that has spoken these words of power and promise is now dying. And he is now dead. The disciples' world is in chaos. They're full of confusion. Their entire existence is discombobulated. They don't know what to do. So what do? When you don't know what to do, you go fishing. Somebody said, boys, get the boat, get the Yeti, get the snacks. I'm about to lose my mind. I'm going fishing. And I want you to notice the response. I go a fishing turned into we go a fishing. The young people would call that FOMO, fear of missing out. You are not about to have fun without me. You are not about to go fishing without me. I want you to notice something really intriguing and interesting, though. It started with one individual. One person said, I go a fishing. And then it turned into, we go a fishing. Because it matters who you allow to speak into your world when you are confused. It matters who you allow to speak into your world when you are betrayed. It matters who you allow to speak into your world when you do not know what to do. They are in disarray. They have lost their faith, their equilibrium. And so now one disciple announces, I'm going fishing. And so the rest of the disciples says, well, we're going fishing with you. And this is what's so wild to me, Doug, is that the Bible says, and they went forth immediately. However, this is the issue. They're not going forward, they're going backward. Have you ever noticed that when your world is turned upside down and there's unexpected news and there's pain and there's trauma and there's hurt, that your sense of direction gets lost? They are going forth, but in reality, they are going backward. If you're stepping away from the Word of God and the man of God and the will of God and the house of God, it does not matter how much you call it forward thinking. You are declining. You are going down a decadent spiral backwards. And the Bible says they do it immediately. Now, Here's what I've realized about my own humanity, and here's what I've realized that's it's pretty ubiquitous, it's pretty universal in just our human nature and our proclivities and our default is that it's so much easier to have more faith in going backward than forward. It's a whole lot easier to be more unified in retreating than progressing. All it took is one person to say, I'm going fishing. The rest say, yo, we're with you. And the Bible says they did it immediately. They didn't hesitate. They immediately begin to step backward. They begin to go back to what they knew to do. We're fishermen. This is our profession. This is our past. This is our pedigree. This is what we're experts at. This is what we know to do. And the Bible says, one of the most, where's Nevaeh at? Nevaeh, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, that night they caught nothing. And heaven allows them to fail where they've always succeeded. Now this is where I'm about to preach into somebody's spirit right now. Because the adversary has had the audacity to invite you back into your past. The adversary has had the audacity to convince you that you could be just another average child of God, plopped on a pew on a Sunday morning, just oozing through your existence. That night, they caught nothing. That night, they caught nothing. That night, heaven allowed them to fail where they had always succeeded, because when you have been an eyewitness of His majesty, and Tara, when we have been an eyewitness of His glory, and we have seen the supernatural, and we have seen the miraculous, Chris, heaven will not allow us to be successful in declining. Heaven will not allow us to be successful following our own proclivities and our own mistakes and our own. When you have been exposed to the glory of God, you will never be settled going back to where you came from and going back to who you used to be. If you say yes to that hellish invitation to step back, I'm going to go ahead and prophesy your future. It's frustration and angst, because you will never be peaceful. You will never be content knowing that there is more that God has for you. And before you define going back as stepping out of this house and never stepping into the Word of God and never hearing another sermon on a Sunday, I'm not just talking about people that would leave this house physically. I'm talking about people that would stay in this house physically but leave this house spiritually. It doesn't matter if I am an overachiever in my life, in my preferences, in my dream job, if I am an underachiever in the high calling that God has placed in my life. And I'm telling you right now, there is a high calling. This word is not to look down on you and condemn you. This word is to remind you there is a calling, and it's an upwards calling. It's not a calling that will let you be safe. It is not a calling that will listen to your excuses. It is a high and holy calling that you're not going to get out of your system. You're not going to get out of your mind. You're not going to get out of your spirit. I'm telling you, the word has come to speak to somebody this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. My past was not perfect. My home life was not perfect. My parents are not perfect. People I looked to growing up were not perfect. But I saw men and women such as my parents, such as your bishop and wife, such as your pastoral family. I saw people around me that made a covenant. They made a cognizant decision. I'm going to put the kingdom of God first. And here's what I realize: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know what that tells me? A lot of things can be added onto your life, but the kingdom is not one of them. The kingdom cannot be additional. It must be foundational. It must be paramount. It must be premier. First, the kingdom. You're not losing your mind for putting God first. You're not doing the wrong thing by putting God first. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. But on this night, the disciples are leaving their calling. They're running from their calling. They're going back to fishing. They're going back to what they can compute. They're leaning on the side of the boat, but they're also leaning on their own understanding. All right. And that night, they caught nothing. They've been fishing for the first hour. They haven't even broken a sweat. They're fine. But then 1 hour turns into 3 hours. And then it's midnight, and they haven't caught anything. And now somebody's getting a little hangry. They run out of snacks, and somebody's about to cuss the other person out, and they haven't caught anything. The Bible says that night they caught nothing. It almost alludes as if every other night they've always been catching something, but on that night they caught nothing. But they got a few more hours. Now those Old Testament cuss words aren't bubbling in their throat. They've let them out. They're mad, they're angry, they're frustrated. They still haven't caught anything. They're working their nets. We don't work our nets in 2024, but we do network. We try to figure out everything that we can do in our own ingenuity and by our own human infrastructure and by our own talents and our own connections. And sometimes you're doing everything that you know to do and you're not catching anything. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the darkness, McKenna, these frustrated, angry fishermen hear the voice of a stranger. We know it's the Savior. They don't. Patrick, we know it's Jesus. They don't. All they hear is this voice that begins to echo through the eerie darkness. Children. Now we have to stop. How many of you like to fish? Okay, all right. I love you, respect you. I just don't agree with you. I like to catch. And about every single time I go fishing, I tend to fish more than I catch. And within 10 seconds of not catching anything, I lose all faith. I lose all hope. The world is coming to an end. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you to talk to me. I never question the existence of God. until I am on a boat fishing and not catching anything. And then I question everything. And it's always worked out that somehow I'm always fishing with someone more devout than me. If we just fish a little longer, we're going to catch something. If we just use this lure from Bucky's, then I think that's what the bass want. I think they want beaver nuggets. Let's try that. And then that doesn't work. And so we go to another place of Lake Fork or the pond or wherever it is. And so invariably, I have a plan B. It's called snacks. But when you're a devout fisher, you don't get distracted by snacks. You're not hungry. You want to fish. I have no problem with that. You fish, I'll snack. Oh, but they always have a problem with me. Because every time I open up the bag of Cheez-Its, it's like it's trying to win a world record for being the loudest bag of Cheez-Its being opened. And so I'm just trying to open up my Cheez-Its at the back of the boat. Shh, few people, shh. Is that going to stop me? No. We are going to open up this bag of Cheez-Its. Shh. Shut up! You got to be quiet, man. You can't yell. You can't scream. You can't laugh. You can't be loud. You can't listen to music. And you surely can't open up snacks. So obviously Jesus doesn't know how to fish. Because he's breaking the number one rule of fishing. And he is screaming, children, echo, echo, echo. Fish are fleeing. Disciples are already cussing. Children, I just got to stop right here. You want to know why hell hates your guts? Keely, this is why hell hates our guts. Because even when we are running, even when we are despondent, even when we are failing and flailing, and even when we are backsliding, we are still his son, and we are still his daughters, and we are still his baby. Even when you are opposed to him, the mercy of God comes running to remind you, you're still my child. That's why hell hates your guts. Children, do you have any food? And the answer is a one-word response. No. I think we can safely exegete from the text that they're not in a good mood. Have you ever took out your phone and you went to send someone a heartfelt text message, maybe encouragement, maybe it's happy birthday text, and you send them like three paragraphs of heartfelt sappiness because you know they're a words of affirmation person and they need to be a little extra validated and encouraged, and so they write back, thanks. They don't even spell out the whole word, T-H-X. Thank you for the sacrifice of your time. Jesus is talking to them, but he's a stranger. He asked them a question, children, do you have any meat? And the answer is no. Now, Jesus is the answer. So anytime the answer asks the question, it's not because he needs to know the answer. It's because you and I need to know the answer. Anytime the answer is asking a question, it's because we haven't figured out the answer yet. They are down to nothing. But do they know that they are down to nothing? And once they know that they are down to nothing, do they also know that that is when God is up to something? I'm sorry to keep being so simplistic Sunday after Sunday. Keep coming back for Pastor Darren's teaching for greater revelation. But I just need to remind someone this morning, what is it that God made the world out of? Nothing. So nothing is miracle material. Am I the only one that has ever been in a low moment and I felt the accusation of fear come against me and tell me, you are nothing and you are nobody? I used to fight that. Now I agree with it, Tommy. Every time the enemy reminds me I am nothing, I agree and I remind him that God made the world out of nothing. So what world, what future, what destiny, what miracle? God knows I am nothing without him, but if I can remind myself that I am nothing without him, I can also remind myself I can be anything with him. Somebody, I just dare you to stand on your feet, clap your hands for 5 seconds, and remind the adversary of your soul, nothing is impossible to him. Nothing is impossible to him. Nothing is impossible to him. Nothing is impossible. It's impossible for him to do nothing with nothing. God's going to bring a miracle out of my nothingness. God's going to bring a job out of my nothingness. God's going to bring a healing out of my nothingness. God's going to bring a testimony. God's going to bring a ministry out of nothing. I know we preach about giving something to God. I believe in that. But sometimes you've got to give God your nothing. Now y'all got me out of breath. Y'all need to chill. Do you have any food? No. I love it. Now the stranger that is screaming, breaking the rules of fishing, now gives them expert advice. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. We don't know who this lunatic is, but he's on the shore, and we got to get back to the shore. And he's about to drive us cray-cray, but we're just going to do what he says to do. See, I don't think it was faith. I think it was just action. But faith is not a feeling. Faith is an action. Trying to hurry. What happens when you don't feel faith? You out-action your feelings. There's a reason the Bible tells us that we can trade a spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. You can trade a spirit, an attitude, a feeling for a garment, for an identity. Who you are is greater than what you feel. So when I'm feeling a spirit of heaviness, I put on the garment of praise. When I'm facing a spirit, a feeling, an attitude, I don't face it with my own feelings, because my feelings are hijacked by fear. My feelings are fickle. My feelings are topsy-turvy. My feelings are untrustworthy. My heart is deceitful. I don't fight feelings with feelings. I fight feelings with identity. I put on a garment of praise. Who I am is greater than what I feel. While I may feel fear, I refuse to be fearful. While I may be in sickness, I'm not taking on the identity of sickness. While I may be in the valley, I'm going to keep walking, because my identity is not defined by the valley. Who I am is greater than what I feel. Who am I? I am a prayer warrior. I am a tither. I am a giver. I am a worshiper. I am a praiser. And who I am in Christ is greater than what I am feeling in this temporary moment. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. Okay, should we do this? I think we should do this. Okay, I need y'all to act like we've practiced this. I don't need any fumbles or mistakes, okay? I need you, and you. I need all you guys. And I need you to bring your chair with me. Can you bring your chair with you? Is that possible? Are they locked? Okay. Yeah, I think we can do this. Let's give them a hand clap so it's not awkward. All right, y'all run up here. Hurry, run, run. Run up here. Run up here, run. Let's clap louder while they're coming. Please, Do not hit the wall. Do not hit the wall. Oh, Pastor Darren will sue me. Okay, all right, we're going to build a boat. All right, we're going to build a boat. And this is going to be the front of the boat. And this is going to be the side of the boat. Y'all keep bringing the chairs. And yeah, go ahead. Y'all just, you know, keep clapping for us if you want. This is going to be the other side, yeah. This is going to be the other side. Yeah, and now y'all jump in the boat. Y'all get in the boat. All right, so they're in the boat, and they're on one side. We're all on this side. Some of us are fishing. Some of us are snacking. Some of us are arguing. And the Bible says Jesus tells them to cast the net on the other side of the boat. So now they've got to take the net, and they've got to pull it out of the sea, and they've got to take it all the way to the other side of the boat. Now, this is not light work. This is not light work. This is cumbersome. This net is heavy. It's muddy. It's murky. So we're going to need everybody, okay? We're going to need everybody. Nobody's slacking, all right? Everyone's got to grab the net. Are you in the boat? You got to get in the boat, man. Man, stop trying to sink and get all the attention. We got to get the net. All right, has everyone got it? Everyone got the net? Yo, you got your hand on the net? I'm watching you. Okay, on the count of three, we're gonna take the net to the other side. All right, now I've been preaching already for a few minutes, so I'm a little tired, so I'm really just acting like I'm pulling the net. You're the one that's going to pull the net, all right? Count of three, we got it. We need a team huddle. We need Gatorade. We good? All right, okay. On the count of three. Three! Come on. Come on. Somebody pull. Okay, there's a snag right there. There's a snag. Go and snag. Hurry. There's a snag. There's a snag. Okay, all right. Get to the other side. Yeah, there we go. Oh, come on, man. Let's go. We did this. Let's go. All right. Come on, man. We got this. See, if you're going to be obedient to the word, you're going to have to get over something. And for every single one of us, that something is something different. But you do not have the luxury to get stuck. You got to get over where everybody else stops, and you got to get over where everybody else gets snagged, because the word of God is worth you getting over bitterness, over apathy, over secret sin, over unforgiveness. The word of God is worth whatever you have to get over to fulfill it. Musicians, come. Watch, this is so amazing to me. The Bible says that when they cast on the other side, what did they find? The Bible said the nets were full of fish. The nets were full of fish. Now, that's not logical. That does not make sense that just a few moments they were over here catching nothing, and now they're over here and they're catching everything. They say that the average width of a boat, a fishing boat in Bible times, was 7.5 feet. So hopefully I get this right. Y'all count with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hey, good job. Who built this boat? That's about 7.5. What would you do if you knew you were 7.5 feet of faith away from your miracle? What would you do? Well, you don't understand. It's the same water, and it's the same boat, and it's the same fishermen, and we've been out here all night. Everything's the same. Wrong. A word has went forth. And when a word goes forth, your family does not have to stay the same. Your thought patterns do not have to stay the same. The abuse does not have to stay the same. The lethargy does not have to stay the same. The stagnation, nothing. You don't have to stay the same. Woo! Stand with me right now. The Bible said, now their nets are full of fish. Now their nets are full of fish. All they did was go from one side of the boat to the other. Stop letting the enemy rob you of your miracle out of complexity, when God is just asking you to align with simplicity. It doesn't even say that they had a goosebump, that they had confirmation. There was just some stranger yelling at them from the shore. They didn't even respond. They didn't even answer. They just did it. And so, who wants to be John? Would you like to be John? Who, can you be Peter? Can you be Simon Peter? You're Simon Peter. This is John. Simon Peter says, yo, this don't make sense. This does not make sense. And the Bible says that the disciple that Jesus loved said, this is the Lord. Didn't even say his name. The disciple that Jesus loved. You know what would be an amazing success, Brother Rick, is if some of us were not known by our bank account, we weren't known by our social media, we weren't known by our status in this earth, but we would be known before the throne. You know that woman of God at Truth Church? Oh, I know who that is. You know that devout man of God at Truth Church? You don't even have to say their name. I know. Because their prayer life is their identity. Their dedication and their love for Jesus. That's what identifies them. You know why it's important that we come to church today? Because it matters who's in your boat. Simon Peter is running. He's discombobulated. He's full of fear and doubt. But there's somebody in his boat to say, this is of the Lord. I don't know if God can heal anymore. Let me remind you when God did that miracle in 2019. I don't know if God can bring my family back in. Let me remind you about what he did for my family. You need somebody in this altar. You need somebody on your pew. You need somebody in your sphere, in your world, to say, this is the Lord. Because your social feed is saying, this is not the Lord. Negative influences are saying, this is not the Lord. Spirits of this age are saying, this is not the Lord. You need somebody in your boat to say, this is of the Lord. This doesn't make sense. You need someone to remind you that God doesn't have to make sense. He makes miracles. He has the luxury not to always make sense. But this is what he can do. He can make miracle after miracle after miracle. This is my favorite part. The Bible says he puts his coat back on and he jumps overboard. Are we doing this? Oh, no. The Bible does not say he walked overboard. It says he jumped overboard. So I need you. No. You ran into the boat. So I need you to stand on this and not fall, because that would be such an awkward ending to an awkward message. Can you hold the chair? Yeah, can y'all hold the chair? Can you hold this? Yeah. I think physics says that's the part that might move. So on the count of three, I just need you to jump and not hurt yourself, or I'm gonna get sued times two. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Come on, give it up. Here's what's so amazing. If you forget everything else I've said, this is what somebody in this room needs to hear. The Bible says he jumps overboard and he begins to swim to the shore. Now, there's two tests in our world. We're tested with failure when there's no fish in the boat. But what happens when you're tested with success and all the fish are on the boat? But what is success without Jesus? What's a job promotion without Jesus? What's all the money in the bank, but your health is declining and you do not have a future with Jesus intact? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure this is of the Lord? Are you sure? Yes, this is of the Lord. then if this is of the Lord, I've got to get to where he is. And so now Simon Peter makes his way to the shoreline. And you know what he finds? He finds nail-scarred hands cooking. He doesn't find condemnation. He doesn't find anger. You know what he finds? He finds nail-scarred hands that have gathered a fire, that have gathered kindling, that have gathered rocks. He finds nail-scarred hands that are cooking and preparing all while he has been running. What do you got? The Bible's amazing. Sister Terry, he's got not only bread, he's got fish. Everything that they've been toiling for all night, Jesus already has. I'm telling you right now, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of any man, everything that God has prepared for them that love him. That's the word for somebody. That's the word for a few somebodies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine adversary. He doesn't wait for everything to be perfect to prepare exactly what he... You don't even realize this service has been prepared. This song set is not just the random choosing of a music leader. God's preparing. The collapse of your life on Saturday and the uninvited news of next Tuesday, you don't understand. God's preparing. God's preparing. And he can use every ingredient. Is he behind every ingredient? I don't think so. But you know what I know? He can use the ingredient of sin. He can use the ingredient of life. He can use the ingredient of devastation. He can use the ingredient of a vile world. And he can master and maneuver. I'm almost done, I promise. Come and dine. Why did you run? No, that's not what Jesus says. I'll never forgive you. No, that's not what Jesus says. You know what Jesus says? Come and dine. Come and partake. Come and feast. And then you know what Jesus says after that? This is what he says, Brooklyn. He says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. Now, Jesus, you do know this man has already denied you. Jesus just needs to know, do you love me as much as you denied me? Can you submit as much as you used to sow discord? Can you consecrate with the same intensity that you used to cave and compromise? Can you just love me as much as you used to deny me? But you don't understand. You don't understand. I still remember the sound of the rooster. I still remember the night that I denied you. Do you not remember, Simon Peter, that the Lord told you, you are going to deny me? Your failure, your lack of faith, your relapse in hope was not a surprise to him. Simon Peter, you're going to deny me before the rooster even crows. You're going to deny me. I know you denied me. But I got a question this morning, and then I'm truly done, I promise. I got a question for you. Does the rooster crow to signal the end of a day or the beginning of a day? I'm telling you, I got other places to preach. I don't got to preach this entire message here this morning. But someone's got to hear this. His mercies are new every morning. Layla, his mercies are new even when my mistake is fresh. His mercy is new every single morning. So you know what Jesus had already prepared? You know what nail-scarred hands had prepared? You're going to deny me and you're going to make a mistake. But when you make the mistake, I'm going to prepare for you to hear something. And you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear the sound of a new morning. You're going to hear the sound of a new day. You're going to hear the sound of a new beginning. I'm not just preaching. I need somebody to hear that nail-scarred hands have prepared. There's a new beginning. There's a new beginning. Would you step out from where you are? Would you raise your hands right now? Come on, I'm speaking to a mother. I'm speaking to a father. I'm speaking to a veteran believer. I'm speaking to a prodigal. Come on, nail-scarred hands. Nail-scarred hands. Nail-scarred hands are preparing. Ooh. Come on, that's it. I feel a sovereign move of the Lord right now. Come on, right where you are, as you're coming, would you lift up your hands? Would you lift up your voice right now? Come on, the prayer team is going to accompany you. Brothers and sisters are all around you, but there's a quickening right now. There's a quickening right now. Nail-scarred hands are beckoning you. 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 True church, I need somebody to agree with this word right now. I need somebody to open up your heart. I need someone to open up your spirit. You may be a veteran believer. This may be your second time here, your first time here. But I need you to know that God's brought you a word this morning. God doesn't need you to perform. God doesn't need you to come with good works. God doesn't need you to earn. He just needs you to receive. So you know what this altar call, this altar invitation is going to be? It's going to be an invitation to just open up your spirit, to open up your heart. God can fill you with his presence. Today can be your day to be baptized. Today can be your day for emotional healing. Today is the day that a man of God gets his hope back. Today is the day that a woman of God gets her tenacity back. I'm done, but I feel the Spirit moving and compelling and speaking. Would you lift up your hands all across this house? If you're an intercessor, I want you to help me pray right now. If you're a woman of God, would you add your voice to the atmosphere? If you're a man of God, would you add your voice to the atmosphere? Yes. 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 That's it.
How great,
that's it.
You are.
Members are praying. Guests are praying. Parents are praying. Spouses are praying. Children are praying.
My God, how great you are.
Come on, that's it.
How great.
Nail-scarred hands are preparing. Nail-scarred hands are preparing. Nail-scarred hands are preparing. Come on, that's it. Come on, someone needs to stretch their hope right now. Someone needs to stretch their faith right now. Come on, the atmosphere is right. The atmosphere is compelling somebody this morning. The atmosphere is confirming someone this morning. The atmosphere is inviting somebody this morning. Come and dine. Come and feast.
The oceans are rising.
Partake. Of the Lord. Partake of the goodness of the Lord.
And we are responding to your love. My God, how great you are. How great you are.
If you're praying, keep on praying, but I'm going to ask you to take another step forward. Would you do that right now if you're in the front? Would you just take a few steps? If you're in the middle, would you take a few steps? If you're in the back, would you just take a few steps? We're not trying to crowd anybody. We're not trying to suffocate anybody. We're not trying to call anybody out. But there's power in proximity right now. There's something flowing. There's something rippling. There's an undercurrent in this room right now. I wonder if before they begin to sing again, if you would just lift your hands with me. And I wonder if you would just begin to close your eyes with me. And I wonder if you would just begin to talk to Jesus with your own hunger, with your own desperation, with your own fear, with your own worry, with your own words. Come on, that's it. Would you just talk to Jesus?
Come on, it doesn't matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter the blackness of the night. It doesn't matter if you're walking in the middle of midnight. There's a word that's come for you this morning. There's a word that's come to you this morning. Come on, there's somebody in your boat saying, this is of the Lord. This is of the Lord. They're going to begin to sing again, but there's a sovereign move happening right now. Come on, strength is coming to somebody. Clarity is coming to somebody. Provision is coming to somebody right now. Come on, I dare you, don't wait for someone to pray for you. I dare you, don't wait for something super spiritual. Don't wait for somebody to come and give you 10 prophecies. Don't wait to see an angel. I dare you just to open up your heart. I dare you just to open up your spirit and let nail-scarred hands do what only nail-scarred hands can do.
How great you are, how great, how great you are.
I know that we've lingered. I don't think we've lingered past the presence of God. Nobody's making you stay. I think we're all well aware that the Spirit of God is so tangible in this room right now. For those that need to slip out, for those that have left, there's no judgment. But we're getting ready to pray again. For those that are still in this building, perhaps you're seated in the back, you're standing, perhaps you're in the front, we're just getting ready to pray one more time. I just happen to believe that somebody's getting ready to hear the sound of Pentecost. I'm going to say it again. I said we're getting ready to hear the sound of Pentecost collectively and individually. I imagine that until Simon Peter made it to the day of Pentecost, he heard that rooster crow again and again throughout his mind. Perhaps sometimes it sounded like condemnation. Perhaps sometimes it sounded like new mercies on a new day. But this is what I do know, that God allowed him to stand with the 11 and to hear another sound. Whoo, I feel a witness in this house. I feel like we're getting ready to intercede for just a moment, but we're not getting ready to beg. We're not getting ready to moan and cry. It's not going to be a sound of defeat, despair. But I'm telling you, something is pulsating in this room. Something is alive and well. And I just happen to believe somebody's prayer is going to bring it into existence. Some of you don't even realize, but your family unit, your marriage, your ministry is here prepared. All you see is the junk and the chaos, and you don't even realize that beyond your imperfection, the eyes of the Lord has been watching you through the blackness of night, and nail-scarred hands have been preparing. I'm telling you right now, you're getting ready to hear another sound. It's the sound of promise. It's the sound of Pentecost. It's the sound of fulfillment. Would you just lift up your hands in the culminating moments of this service? Would you just lift up your hands all across this room? I'm not just speaking to preachers and leadership. I'm speaking to mothers and fathers right now. I'm speaking to parents right now. I'm speaking to saints right now. Come on, the sound of Pentecost is coming to your home. The sound of Pentecost is coming to your mind. The sound of Pentecost is coming to your marriage. The sound of promise and fulfillment. Woo! Would you just lift your hands just a little higher all across this room right now? If you're an intercessor, would you just help me pray for just a minute? Come on, there's an atmosphere of faith right now. There's an atmosphere of faith right now. Come on, that's it for just a few more seconds. Come on, we're going to go home. We're going to come back Wednesday night. We're going to go to lunch. But there's something moving in this house right now. There's a wind that's already blowing. Somebody's already standing with the 11. Somebody's already stepping into Pentecost. Some of you don't even realize, but one of your babies is going to get the Holy Ghost in your house. Some of you don't even realize you've been praying for it for a long time, and God's about to give it to you instantaneously. Come on, would you just help me pray for just a minute right now? Would you just help me entertain it right now? Come on, would you just make it personal for your world? Would you just make it personal for your city, for your home, for your life right now? Come on, don't wait on anybody to pray for you. Don't wait on them to sing. I just need you to pray right now. Come on, Simon Peter, the hand of God's on you. The hand of God is upon you. Woo! Come on, could I lean on you to create an atmosphere of prayer for just another moment or two? Could I lean on you to sustain an atmosphere of prayer for just another moment? I'm gonna walk around and pray for some people, but would you just lift up your voice right now? And would we just let the final moments of this service just be a prayer meeting before we leave? Come on, I'm telling you, one of your babies is getting ready to receive the Holy Ghost in your house. Pentecost is coming. Pentecost is coming. Come on, that's it. That's it. It's the sound of Pentecost. It's the sound of Pentecost. It's the sound of Pentecost.